The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos describes the first set of guidelines which Chazal articulated to build the system of halacha, of moral observance. Pirkei Avos is a collection of Mishnayos, sort of collating all these statements which Chazal proliferated and popularized about Midos Tavos, about Yirat Shamayim, about Talmud Torah, about Ben Adam L'Chavero. They're very cliched in many ways because they're so concise and pithy, and they're also cliched because they're so familiar, and they became familiar because Chazal popularized them. Chazal, so to speak, put them on the map, as we would say. The first three statements have a Mesunim Badin, quoted in the name of Reb Shimon HaTzadik, who was one of the remaining members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, more or less in the middle of the second Beis HaMikdash, right at the end of the Tekufa, of the period of Nevuah, as the period of Chachma and of Torah Shebaal Peh is launched. Having Mesunim Adin be deliberate and balanced and temperate in judgment, whether it's legal, formal judgment in the judicial setting, or how we judge other people in the day-to-day context. B'tzedek tishbot am isecha, very famous Rashi in Parshas Kiddoshim, give people the benefit of the doubt, think the best of people, not the worst of people. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, teach as many Talmidim as possible, be prepared and interested in sharing your Torah rather than in withholding Torah as some sort of personal or private possession. And finally, Asusiag LaTorah, induct or install Chumras. Be prepared not just to adhere to, as we would say, the letter of the law, the strict halachic concept or the strict halachic category, but understand and employ the experience of Chumrah. Chazal derive Chumrah from a pasuk in the Torah, Vasu Mishmeres LeMishmarta. You shouldn't just skim the halachic surface, but you should try to erect a blockade or a deterrent to assure that a violation or a prohibited item or experience won't be breached. The power and the advisability of Chumrah is twofold. On the one hand, from a very practical perspective, the human experience and the moral experience is always complex. Human psyche is fragile, and in the heat of the moment, our discretion fades, our courage wanes, and we oftentimes can't trust ourselves, can't trust our judgment, can't trust our clarity to navigate complex and challenging situations. We fail and we fall prey to our insecurities, to our vulnerabilities, to our fears, to material demands and pressures. And a chumrah is a mechanism for maintaining distance, distance which assures that even Chas v'shalom, a failure, won't breach the actual Isser, but will merely engage in some related experience, and hopefully within sufficient time, a person will come to his senses, wake up from a stupor, and recognize the moral danger he's encountering. So Chumrah has a very practical purpose. There's so many areas in Halacha where Chumrah was adopted in order to create distance. For example, one very, very popular area is basar b'chalav. According to the Torah, not allowed to eat basar b'chalav, hot red meat with hot milk together. Chazal prohibited even chicken and milk, even if they're cold. Chazal later, doesn't sound like it was a legislation as much as a practice, but at some point, not just to avoid eating them together, but to avoid eating them in the same meal or within the same time frame, which has led to the various practices about waiting 6 hours or 3 hours or 5 hours. Either way, food sometimes can be very difficult to regulate, whether it's in small contexts like the home or whether it's in large contexts like institutions, catering. So in order to avoid any contact between meat and milk or hot meat and hot milk, Chazal demanded that we create complete separation, complete distance between meat and milk. Other popular areas of Chumrah, of course, of Shabbos, the demand to change our routine wholesale from weekday to Shabbos is a very compelling but challenging one. Complete shutdown of human creativity. Chazal were worried, so they installed various halachos, muktzah being perhaps the most notable, the most obvious. We don't carry certain items, and according to some Rishonim, muktzah is a siyag for hotzah. If we limit the amount of items we carry even within the home, we create a general air of scrutiny and a general air of sensitivity, which will presumably prevent all sorts of violations of melechas hotzah. So these are some of the areas in halacha where chumrah has been a very valuable deterrent, assisting people in avoiding a chait. The areas of ishus, the areas of erva, yichud, negiyah, all sorts of areas, dinei nida, is laced with chumrah, because the sexual interaction of a human being is, of course, one which has very strong emotions, hormones, and a human being can't be trusted to self-regulate. And chumrah is a very beautiful opportunity. Chazal encourage us to create that sort of separation, that distance. But a chumrah is valuable not just because of the practical distance it creates, but because of the attitude it sets and the perspective that it preserves. Very often we're very easygoing about the world of chait. We try our hardest. We come and we perform with absolute utmost sincerity to try to avoid prohibitions and violations. But if we fail or fall into violation, we all realize we can perform tshuva. We just concluded Yamim Narayim. We feel bad. We feel hurt. But ultimately, we assume that Kadosh Baruch Hu understands our best intentions. And sometimes we're a bit callous or nonchalant about the fall into the world of chait. Chazal, our Gedolim, had a very different perspective. It's a very famous story of the Vilna Gaon. Obviously a very extreme story, one which may even cause someone to see it humorously, but just displays how tragic Chazal felt, tragic people felt when encountering chait. The Vilna Gaon evidently was once sitting at the Shabbos table, and there were some shells left on the table, and he accidentally touched the shells, and shells are muktzah, if they're no longer edible. He was so agitated by this contact with something which is muktzah that he fainted. And his family revived him, and they forgot to remove the shells, and when he was revived, he saw the shells, and he fainted again. And I don't think most of us are at that stage where we could faint based on the appearance of the contact with chait. But how often do we sin and feel tragedy, and feel loss, and feel violation and tumah? How often do we just feel failure? We pick ourselves up and get back into it, and dust ourselves off and commit towards greater perseverance and greater adherence in the future. A chumrah helps set the tone that a chait, a person who violates a Kadosh Baruch Hu's command, doesn't just violate the command by desisting from a mitzvah's essay, by forgoing or neglecting tefillin or Talmud Torah or any other mitzvah's essay, but actually ingests an article of food which is forbidden, performs an action which is forbidden. We believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu's system is emes, Taras Hashem Tamima Mashivas Nafash, that every prohibited or prescribed material is dangerous and harmful to the human being, to the human soul, to our eternity. In contact with those items or those experiences is corrosive. And failure to adhere to the strictures of halacha should create tragedy, should create a sense of shame, a sense of loss, a sense of defiling. Chumrah creates that attitude. Chumrah helps create that attitude. A chait is so dangerous that not only should it be avoided, but anything that smacks of that chait, anything which is related to the chait, anything which is flavored by that chait, has to be similarly avoided. So chumrah is a very powerful and positive tool within the halachic experience. But it can also be a very dangerous and confusing experience. And the danger and peril of chumrah is evident in Parshas Bereishis, evident in Chava's mistake, Hanachash Hishiani Lechol, she tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Unglis interprets it, Hanachash Hitiani. Well, it really wasn't just the Nachash's error, it was Chava's self-inflicted error. because she told the Nachash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had prohibited her from touching the Eitz HaDaas, and that indeed was incorrect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forbidden eating, and the difference between eating and touching is an important one, not for this conversation, not for this year. The Nachash, according to Chazal, pushed her into the tree, and when she wasn't punished for touching the tree, so he convinced her. He persuaded her that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's statements in general were not that obligatory, were not that mandatory. In Avos Driv Nasan, which is a parallel work to Pirkei Avos, Chazal raised the danger of Chumra, and particularly within Chava's failure. Mi garam l'negiyazu, what caused this whole chait? Siag shesag adam arishon, this failed Chumra. Mikan amru, Chazal were worried about Chumra. Im sag adam lidvarav, en yachol lamod bidvarav. Person makes too many Chumras, we'll be able to keep the halacha. Mikan amru, im sag adam lidvarav, en yachol lamod. Al Yosef Adam al Devarim, don't create chumras. Tov asara tvachim ve'omed, it's better to create a wall of 10 tvachim which can stand mimea ama ve'nofil, a wall of 100 which will fall. Nechazal here are speaking about the practical dangers of chumra. Sometimes chumra can be so stifling, so overwhelming, that person is unable to maintain the levels of chumra, and the failure to reach those ambitious levels of halachic observance or of halachic behavior, that failure can dispirit a person and in many ways deter him from maintaining even basic halacha. Some people are so strained by self-inflicted chumras. Obviously, chumras which were legislated, institutionalized throughout halacha, through Shulchan Aruch, a person is not at liberty to suspend. Once a chumra is adopted by Shulchan Aruch, whether it's Basar B'cholav, whether it's Shabbos, like Muksa, obviously a person can say, well, I'm not going to keep the chumra of Muksa, because it becomes incorporated within the halachic system. But on a personal level, chumra is a wise decision for the practical and existential reasons I mentioned earlier. But sometimes it can become too overwhelming, too burdensome, too heavy. And failure to meet the expectations and demands of chumra can itself discourage and deter halachic behavior. And this is, of course, evidence in the experience of Chava, where she was unable to maintain her self-inflicted chumra of not touching the tree, and that caused her to actually eat from the tree, which is a grave and obviously a historic sin for all of mankind. But the dangers of chumra are not just the practical concern which Chazal voice. It's also attitudinal, just like the power and the benefits of chumra are attitudinal. The perspective that shapes, so are its dangers. Even if a person establishes a chumra, whether it's a personal chumra, whether it's a chumra which was already incorporated within halacha, in the terms of performing halacha, a person has to be able to discern between halacha, a mitzvah, deraisa, derabanan, and the chumra, and bring different levels of emotion to the performance. Take, for example, something which I heard from Rav Amital. Chazal, the Shulchan Aruch describes, al pi Kabbalah, the sequence for tying shoes. Right and left, and then which should be tied first, which should be tied second. Some people are attuned to the world of Kabbalah and maintain this sequence. Some people are less attuned to the world of Kabbalah and don't adhere to this sequence. But even if someone does maintain this sequence, saying Kriya Shema, for example, is a mitzvah deraisa. It's Kabbal's Malchus Shemayim. It should be one of the high moments religiously, one of the high moments of religious passion of a person's day. Kabbalah Kodesh Baruch Hu's authority, disseminating, proliferating that authority to an entire world, at least to an entire people, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That should be attended by deep passion, deep intensity. Tying shoes is a sequence of tying shoes is a Kabbalistic introduction, a Kabbalistic opportunity. It's not just a question of chumra obliterating the possibility for adhering to halacha, but of blurring or of distorting the halachic experience by creating one plane, one layer. A person should adhere to chumra, but certainly should perform that chumra the very, very different perspective or attitude in the actual halacha. Let me say it differently. Actual halacha has to be performed with a greater level of intensity, with a greater sense of halachic opportunity and encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not just a question of maintaining the difference so that failure in chumrah won't become contagious and lead to failure in halacha, but even if halacha and chumrah are both adhered to, the experience and the performance, the exercise of chumrah, should be conducted under very different circumstances than the exercise of halacha proper. And then, of course, there's a final danger. Chumrah, by definition, and here in particular I'm referring to personal chumrah, personal chumrah sometimes has to be relaxed. Halacha can never be relaxed. Halacha can never be suspended. It's the definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's timeless will, whether it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directly revealed will or halachas which Chazal institutionalized, became incorporated within the halacha corpus. Personal chumrah is a wise, desirable, admirable opportunity to protect halacha, to set an attitude towards the danger of Isser, to create certain mentalities and consciousness about mitzvos and averos. But at what point should a chumrah be suspended in order to accommodate kavod abrios, sometimes in order to accommodate kibud avraim, in order to be mekayim other mitzvos or other chasadim, tzarchei rabim, serving in the army, giving tzedakah? You're invited over to someone's house and basically the food is kosher, but you're machmir in a certain area. Is that an opportunity to suspend your chumrah and to eat the lower level of kashrus, assuming that it's reasonable kashrus, in order not to insult your hosts? That's a question which a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael face during Shemitah. I mean, during non-Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the United States, the level of ashkachos are much more complicated, and some people, myself included, adopt higher levels of kashrus. But what happens when you're in a context in which those levels could be burdensome to others, cause a chisar and a kavod abrios, then it's no longer a chumrah. Then it's a kula. You're being mekil on other people's kavod. Shulchan Aruch, whenever it talks about a chumrah, says, Hamachmir al atzmo, tavo lav bracha. If you machmir on yourself, if your chumrah leads to a hardship or an inconvenience for another person, it's not a chumrah. It's just a way for you to flash your religion, try to impress people with your religious sincerity and zealotry. It's not a chumrah. It's not something which is beautiful. It's not something which is appealing. It's not something which is ugly, which is a tircha for others. That's a danger of chumrah well beyond the practical concern that failure at chumrah will yield or lead to failure at halacha, beyond the question of understanding the difference between chumrah and halacha emotionally. Just a question of understanding that there are two different realms of halachic behavior. One is halacha, one is chumrah. Sometimes the realm of chumrah has to be suspended for a higher goal, for a higher value. Another question about understanding the different realms, how we view people that may not adhere to our level of chumrah. A person doesn't keep halacha, doesn't keep Shulchan Aruch, doesn't maintain Tariq mitzvahs. Obviously, we still feel affinity and kinship with that person from historical, national standpoint, part of the Jewish people, part of Jewish history, part of Jewish destiny and future, part of Eretz Yisrael, perhaps. They live in Israel, they're part of the Israel experience. But that person has deserted the halachic experience and, to a degree, out of bounds of halachic experience. Person doesn't maintain your chumrah. Perhaps opting for a different chumrah, perhaps opting for chumrah in a different realm, perhaps opting for a little chumrah, less chumrah. The person isn't outside of the halachic orbit. The person hasn't defaulted halachically. The person is merely more relaxed, perhaps in this area, perhaps in all areas. Sometimes we're too caustic, too harsh. We review people in general. Very often chumrah is the index or the barometer that we use to classify people in their halachic membership. And very often that's a very, very flawed and poor barometer to gauge other people's halachic commitment. So chumrah is a very beautiful part of Avodas Hashem and shouldn't be underestimated and shouldn't be neglected. The dangers are real. And unfortunately, in today's world, those dangers are sometimes uncontested and unchecked. We see sometimes behavior which advances under the guise of religion. It seems like it's very religious behavior, and sometimes it could be very, very dangerous and distasteful behavior, especially where the differences between chumrah and halacha are not necessarily maintained. Shabbat Shalom.